pleasure to be here. It's emotional because of just the friendships that we made, the people who've gone on, Portia and John, and I don't know who all. Oh, yeah, Eugene. Sorry about that, Grace. I knew that, but God is what? She's coaching me, Michael. Yeah, which he needs to do. But God is good all the time, and we have much to be thankful for. We're just so blessed beyond measure. We can't count all the blessings we have, can we? But God has led us to this place, and he has given us this opportunity to be in his house, to study his word and pray and remember those who have illnesses and situations in their life. I'm going to share, and I don't know if Bob knows, Romans 12, 1 and 2. That will be sort of the springboard that we will look at in God's Word this morning. It talks about being transformed. Transformed. What in the world does that mean? Well, God's got a word, and he knows how to reveal his own word. He knows that his word will go forth and accomplish what he sent it to do. And we need to live by it, read it, memorize it, ask for understanding. Because in this passage, verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12, tells us to do something, but it tells us how. And that's the way God is. Let's read that. It's just two verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now here's, it tells us to do this. Be transformed, and then it tells us how. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, you have given us the living word. It's not just history. It's not just stories. It's the living word. And we thank you that Jesus Christ is the word. Thank you for giving to us the salvation through Jesus and his death on the cross, seal it. Thank you for the change that can come into our life, no matter how many days we have upon this earth. It can be good because you are our leader, our comforter, our peace, our joy. and much, much more. Open our eyes, hearts, and ears. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. I don't have to tell you this, because you already know it. We're in a mess. Our world is in a mess. Our country is in a mess. And God's not surprised, because when you read of the latter days, it's like reading the day's newspaper. The things that are happening, coming together, just like God said. And when we get that in our heart and in our mind, then our heart and our mind changes. When we know that God is in control, He knows what happened yesterday. He knows what's going to happen today. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't, as far as tomorrow. We know some of the things that happened before, but God knows it all. And He tells us in this age that we live, or any age that people have lived, be transformed. Don't be conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed. And the only way to do that is to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Live by the teachings of His Word, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. No matter what the consequences are, because it's so easy to be conformed to this world. The Scripture says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I've got some scriptures I've picked out, and rather than trying to thumb through the Bible, I'm going to read them, that talks about the mind. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. So if we have the mind of Christ and know His Word, then we will have that mind. In Romans 8:6, it speaks of the mind. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Ephesians 4. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this world. And then one more. In a turmoiled world, turmoiled situation, family or politics or whatever, here's a scripture that can bring peace to your heart. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And again, I go back to that verse and just stand on it and believe it. Thou shalt keep his mind, his heart, his soul. Keep him in perfect peace. Not just peace, but perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. So when I get my mind off to the things of the world and what's going on, I get antsy. I get worried. I get troubled. And so the Holy Spirit brings that scripture back to mind. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So how can we be transformed by the renewing of the mind? Let me give you an illustration. I probably have shared it with you before. But it's probably been long enough that you forgot it. Pretty soon we will see the brightly colored butterflies again. And we should remember where that butterfly, that beautiful butterfly that takes its wings and on the wind and just goes wherever. Before the butterfly was that beautiful creation, it was a creepy, crawly caterpillar. And let's just imagine for a moment. Let's suppose that when he was a caterpillar, that he would look and, you know, I'm making some of this up, but he would look at with envy, the birds that could fly, the butterflies that could fly. And so he couldn't do that as a creepy, crawly caterpillar. No, he had to hide when a bird would come around because he knew he could be breakfast. And so not only did he have to hide, he was envious seeing the birds fly. And so he would talk to his buddies about this. Why can't I do that? Why can't you do that? And his buddies would say, you can't change caterpillar nature. So he's more discouraged. He's bound by his worminess. And because he's bound by his worminess and nothing can happen to him that's good, he just wraps a cocoon around himself. He's done. Given up. But then, lo and behold, one day it happened. The cocoon began to open up. And this old creepy caterpillar couldn't creep anymore. He had wings, and he spread his wings in the morning sun. It was a miracle. He didn't do it himself. He didn't go from a caterpillar to a butterfly by himself. He let go and let God, as we say. It was changed. When he tried to wiggle, he didn't have to wiggle anymore. He was transformed. And the word for that is metamorphosis. A change from within. A change that changes the person. Do you feel like a caterpillar sometimes, that the world is just, you'd like to hide from it? Wrap yourself in a cocoon and not have to see what's going on, what's happening? Well, the good news is that we can be transformed instead of conformed. The world wants us to conform. You've got to be like this. And the more that time goes on, the Christians are being persecuted already, even in the United States. Shut up. You don't have a right to say that. Give up your dreams that are not real. Do it like this. Do it like we do. Conform. That's the pressure that we feel. Conform to the ways of this world. The word conform means to copy, like taking a piece of clay and putting it into a mold, and making, you can make more and more and more. And the world wants to do that, wants to make you like them. We feel the pull of the world. And when we feel the pull of the world, take that scripture that you've hidden in your mind, and you will have perfect peace. Not outside peace, but perfect peace. You remember how Jesus said that we shouldn't worry? How do you do that, Jack? Don't worry. Eli, you ever had anybody say that? Don't worry. Easy to say, hard to do. Well, replace those thoughts with the positive thoughts of the Lord. That if you will keep your mind on Christ. And just as soon as you get that temptation to worry and stew and study and think and get your mind on Christ. Those who want us to conform would say, oh, that's just living in a make-believe world. No, it's living in the real world. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live by the Spirit put their minds on the Lord. So all of us have known of, and probably known personally, people who have made a change. They were going down this road, and they made an about face. And that's what repentance is. Giving our life to Christ. We can't do it ourselves. And when the world comes in after us, they got a system. A little at a time. Just a little at a time. Oh, just a little more. Well, that didn't hurt, so go a little bit further. And because we are still human, it's easy to follow the crowd. It's a gradual process. You remember, and we don't have to go back a whole lot of years to the things we saw on TV, those who take care of the media, feed the media to us, they know their stuff because Satan leads them. And here's what I was going to say, that you remember the first time that you heard a curse word on a TV. And then the next season, they'd use that one word probably. And then the next season, they'd add another one. And then add another one until it's filled with things that oughtn't to be. And the same way with other moral matters, homosexuality, the season when they introduced a homosexual, and that was a good person, and they were, you know, funny, they were so forth. And then the next season, another and another and another. But that applies to all the morals and values and the beliefs that go against God. And it's easy to go along with the crowd and accept and say, well, that's okay. That's conforming. And what we battle with, our battle is the corrosive nature of secularism and godliness and materialism. The world wants us to accept their morals and values and standards. But we're to live in the power of Christ. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How does our mind get renewed? It's not from watching the evening news. It's not reading the latest novel. Our mind is renewed when it's centered on Christ. And then we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have choices. We can choose to just go along, or we can choose to live for Christ. And when going with Christ goes against the grain of society, we'll be tempted to turn around and go back to the old way. And we fight that fight with the scripture. Metamorphosis, a process that leads to an outward permanent change when it applies to like a butterfly. But when we're born again and Christ comes into our life, it's pretty much opposite. We change inside, but, well, for instance, I used to be a butterfly as I looked in the mirror, but now I look like a caterpillar. Creepy, crawly, aching, can't do that anymore. But our new man, our new person, our new nature is changed. And we keep going through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads our mind, renews our mind. We can have an evil mind, we can have a changed mind. The Holy Spirit leads us. Holy Spirit can perform a miracle in our life. The oldest person that after a priest came forward, he was a 90-year-old man, Cool Springs Baptist Church outside of Beaver Dam. And this would have been in the, probably the fall of 1971 or two. Because I was going to seminary and then filling in, preaching, when I had the opportunity. And one Sunday night, Cool Springs Baptist Church, after I preached and gave the invitation, a 90-year-old man got up. And he came forward and he said, I want to be saved. And then after he was saved that night, he said, now, preacher, I want you to take me out here and baptize me. I said, no, I can't do that. And explained to him that he didn't have to be baptized to be saved. But 90 years old. Changed, transformed. He didn't do it himself, just like a creepy, crawly caterpillar didn't change and just decide one day, well, I'm going to change into a butterfly. No, it's a miracle. God has to do that. When Christ changes us, he performs that miracle and he proves it by what is good and acceptable and perfect. Renew our mind. Oh, our mind can get off track so easy. But Christ can change us. How? I don't know. I'm no doubt shared my testimony with you. But I was raised in church. Pretty much when the doors were open, Mom would take us to church. When we were babies. And so I joined the Utica Baptist Church when I was a 8, 9-year-old. And I say join the church because that's what I did. Went forward during the revival. Preacher said, do you want to join the church? And I said, sure. And I don't know if this is, if I put it on my tie, would that be better or worse? Let's try it. So, I was baptized, and of course, as I 8, 9-year-old, I wanted to join the church, but he didn't give me the plan of salvation. And at that time, when someone came forward, I guess, even to accept Christ, then they said, do you want to join the church? And so I tried to live what I thought was a Christian life, continued to be in church. So I was early 20s, late teens, whatever, and Sherry and I got married when I was 20, and I'd gotten out of the habit of going to church, but we got back in the habit when we got married. But that didn't take care of the uneasiness in my life. Wondering, why do I have these doubts? Why do I not live in my mind like they do? Speaking of godly people. And then one day it happened. I was changed from a creepy, crawly caterpillar to a butterfly. April the 7th, 1971. That's when I was saved. That lady had more influence on me than anyone in my life. Good influence. And it's because of her living out the Great Commission that I saw that she had something that I didn't have, and I just turned it over to the Lord for the first time. Born again. Born again. In 2 Corinthians 16, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Some of you said, trying to be nice, you don't look 80 years old. Well, sometimes I feel 80 years old. But I know that my inward man is being changed. And my life verse is Philippians 3:10. Here's my goal, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Being made conformable, now conform, that's a different word than in conform in Romans. Being made conformable unto his death, that if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. God not only knows when a sparrow falls, but he can give a frightened, anxious caterpillar a set of wings that will lift him up. And it, because he becomes a new creature. I assume, and I think I know, that each one here knows what I'm talking about, knowing Christ as Savior. But we need to hear again and again that no matter what happens in this world, the most important thing is to rely upon God and be transformed. Because that transformation, it was a one-time thing, but we need to be renewed. Because our mind can go back, not to undo the salvation, but just conforming to the ways of the world. The birthday, I wrote this down some time ago, the birthday of the butterfly is the day it breaks free from the restraints of the cocoon that has hidden its ugliness. It enters into a new life, changed, revolutionized, redone, reworked. And that's what Jesus Christ does when we follow him and when we let him renew our mind. Father, you have untold riches, blessings, wisdom, and guidance for your people. We will never find out all of your awesome glory as we walk this earth. We put our lives into your hands, O Lord, and we ask for the renewal day by day as we walk this lonesome valley. But we know that you're with us and that your rod and your staff will comfort us. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who's willing to take our place on the cross and die for our sins, that we might have new life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What a pleasure to be here. Sherry and I have talked about, as we were coming up here, how did we make this trip twice a week during the week, Sunday and then Wednesday? She said, well, we weren't this old. 10 years makes a difference. You know your heart. God knows your heart better than you do. If you have any decision you want to share, do that. Jeff, are we going to sing a song or what? Okay. Shirley, how do you keep playing that piano with your hands and arms?
290.